Welcome to Unscripted, the pivot season. I'm Lisa Burling, an award-winning entrepreneur, business owner, journalist, author, and single parent navigating life with curiosity, courage, and a healthy dose of chaos. This season is all about the pivots, the ones we choose and the ones we don't. In my experience, both are fertile ground for growth, clarity, and becoming more of who we truly are. And in a pivot for this podcast, we've planned the guests. But the conversations, I promise you, they're completely unscripted. Each week, I'm opening my journal, I'm choosing someone amazing, and I'm going to sit down with them and hear about the bold pivots that have happened in their own lives. So what unfolds is absolutely real, raw, and refreshingly honest. So let's get into this week's episode. Today on Unscripted, I'm joined by Claire Behrman, a woman whose story is the definition of a thoughtful, purpose-led pivot. Claire is the founder of Jellystone Designs, a company known for creating beautifully designed sensory toys for children, including my personal favorite, the Calm Down bottle, which every household and every office should have. In this conversation, Claire shares how she made the leap from a career in architecture and interior design to building a thriving product-based business that supports children's development. She speaks candidly about the importance of taking a pause before making big decisions, the realities of entrepreneurship, and how her definition of success has evolved along the way. Claire also unpacks the power of community, the need for progress over perfection, and why holding space for big dreams matters. This is a warm, reflective episode full of insight and inspiration, perfect for anyone standing on the edge of their own pivot, wondering if now is the time to take the leap. I am so excited to share this episode of Unscripted featuring Claire Behrman. Claire Behrman, thank you so much for joining me on Unscripted. I want to start who you are and about your business, what it does and for who.
Sure. Claire, and I run Jellystone Designs. We design toys, sensory toys for kids, which some adults use as well. And our ethos is all around products that can bring calm, but at the end of the day, they're for play as well.
And some of those odd adults may be me. I'm obsessed with the Calm Down bottle that Claire's business produces. So I'll link to it in the show notes. Okay, so you know this is the pivot season, so of course I have to ask you next what the word pivot means to you, whether that's in life, in work, or just, you know, in this season of life that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, sure. And I guess pivot can sometimes, I think, be about reacting to something, but I think pivot for me more recently is lifting my head up and taking stock and breathing and just checking in with where am I and is this actually where I want to be? Because I think we can all power on and put our heads down and just keep going the next thing to the next thing. But I feel I'm the most thoughtful and the most powerful with my next steps when I'm actually pausing and having a proper think and consideration around what I'm doing. And that has led to pivots along the way.
That's super interesting. So for you, a pivot is preceded by a pause.
Correct. And look, I have had the odd pivot where it's like some absolute shitstorm and you've had to change tact. But I think the pivots that have been the most dramatic and powerful have been around taking like a check-in on what's going on.
Okay, so let's sort of, I guess, step back in time. What was it that made you realize it was time to leave your full-time job and pivot your career, start your own business? Was there a final straw or was it a slow burn? What did it look like for you?
I think the way that I sort of looked at this sort of notion of pivots and my business journey would be we had a baby, my husband and I, and I didn't want to like I was going a bit crazy just being full-time mum, and I didn't want to go back into my previous career, which had been around architecture and interior design. And I thought maybe running my own business in this toy industry could be good. I don't know why, but it was like a little light bulb moment, and I saw an opportunity. And I think one of the biggest pivots along this journey for me has been the moment when I thought, yeah, this is fun and this is nice and this is like actually a really amazing balance for my mental health, because I was had this great creative outlet. My husband was running his business, so I was supporting him along that and you know, raising the children. But I could pivot and I could turn this actually into something more. Like, I can grow this and this can actually be something much more than a little side hustle, if you will.
I love that, Claire. So what was the first thing that you did or you Googled when the idea to start your business landed for you?
Who would know? Like, the creative brain is not the most reliable when it comes to running a business, I don't think. It probably was like beautiful Pinterest boards and like ideal office spaces. And, you know, we go down that rabbit hole of like the logo and what the font suite will be like. I think that side, don't do what I did, actually just like sell some stuff and get some business going rather than getting all the pretty things aligned. But I think, yeah, it was definitely that very much that creative whirlwind of what to do with how we show up and how we look. I think putting a bit more energy into like what are we doing and why are we doing it would have been good. But that did come really quickly. And I think that sort of message around like why we create what we create, I probably then dive too deeply into that rather than just selling stuff, which at the end of the day is what we do.
So I would argue that actually that creative process is the fuel that can mean the difference between a pivot happening or not. And I'm thinking mainly about Mabel's world, my book coaching business that you had a front row seat to. You were one of the first people that I spoke to about it. And as you know, I was obsessed with what it looked like and producing merch. Like, I think you got tote bag number 3 behind me and mum. So I do think sometimes, and for creative brains like ours, you need to be able to see it to have the confidence that that big pivot and that leap, it can exist.
Yeah, that's so true, Lise, that it's fully formed, it's fleshed out, like you can touch it. Like, it, I mean, I guess that comes with you making the tote bags. Like, it was a physical thing. It wasn't just like in a notebook or on your computer screen. Like, it was there. It had its logo and it was pink and gorgeous. Like, it was real.
Exactly. It was real, right? It was living. I was looking at it every day. It's like, there's a tote bag. I have to do it. This is probably my favorite question to ask.
Yeah.
What version of you had to die for this pivot for Jellystone Designs to be born?
I think it was the sort of like, go with the flow, it'll work out, like see where it leads me. I think that had to be parked and like, why am I doing this? Why do I want to do this? Where are we going with it? I think I had to sort of toughen up in a sort of owning it capacity and really say, I want it and make it known to the world that this is what I wanted, not that I was just going to receive whatever came.
Do you feel like a pivot like that, you know, it's almost like it forces you to grow up? Like, you know, with the creative side that you talked about, it's very childlike and whimsical and, you know, fun. But actually when, you know, push comes to shove, a big pivot does require an adult energy.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, it's asking more of you. The other pivot you could take is to say, I don't have it in me, or I don't want to, or, you know, you can release it. But yeah, it was definitely like, I'm here at probably a bit of a crossroads and I'm going to take as much as I can right now. Like I've got to not take as much as I can, like I'm going to give as much as I can to this new idea and opportunity.
Okay, so what has surprised you most about taking the leap to set up Jellystone Designs and being your own boss? You know, the thing that no one prepared you for.
It's really hard. Let's be honest. It's hard. There's no quick wins. And I feel like when you sort of scramble a little bit and you're up against something, like there's so many people out there who are going to sell you that they will be able to solve your problem and they're the quick fix. And they just like, I don't know, I haven't really found anyone that's been able to flick a switch and just turn it all around. Like it's a slower burn and it's incremental, but I'm impatient, but it's sort of step by step to get there. And I think when you sort of get in that really reactive space of like, I'm really frustrated and I want to achieve this and it's not happening and it's taking longer than I wanted to, and I guess you're sort of vulnerable in a sense because you're probably just thinking a bit more scrambly. That's when I've looked at like, oh, maybe I could do that. And it's just never come from the right place. And ultimately it's never been the right call to make.
That's really insightful. And I'm sure there's lots of people listening that will be nodding their heads along with that because yeah, there is no quick wins, you know, and you can buy all the books and do all the courses, but at the end of the day, it's your journey and it's your business and it's unique to you. And there's things that you just have to go through to get to the other side.
Exactly. That's so true. But I think that's not to say that like not sharing stuff, like, you know, what I've gone through, Lise, and like being vulnerable and open about it, the doors that have opened up from that course have been way more powerful than a like frantic Google search at 2 a.m. about what should I do about this. Yeah.
So what lie about success did you have to unlearn on this journey?
That success would feel like I'd made it or that I'd reached the summit or it would come with relief. Like it has not come with any of those things for me because I think the next thing is the next thing and I'm always looking at the next thing. So I think I had it tied up with more of a feeling, but it's not so much a feeling, I guess. And I need to be, just with my personality type, really clear with what success looks like and how you'll celebrate that, really like black and white. Like if it's a sales target, if it's a new partnership or a new opportunity or the launch of a product, the success has to be directly tied to and what that actually means. And I think it's funny, like reflecting on success, everyone has such a different opinion of it. And some people will like congratulate me on my success with, you know, a store that we've gone into or a product we've launched. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, geez, that store is like, they don't spend any money with us and they're so hard to work with. Like they don't have, it might have like perceived prestige, but to me, that's not the success. And then the product that was like 2 seconds work and it just launched and was brilliant. Like I don't have much skin in the game with that one and I don't feel like it's a success, but then everyone's really enjoying it. So it's just funny. It's just funny how people perceive what you're doing and I guess appreciating it, but they're not getting caught up in it either.
So what, like if I was to ask you what success is for you today, if you were to describe it, how would you describe it?
I think just simply, I guess it is tied like financially with how I can support my family. And it is tied with the freedom to, you know, like at least we have kids, like we want to get to the like awards presentation on a Tuesday morning at school. Like we want to be able to do those things when we can. So it's the opportunity to get there. I think the beautiful team that I work with and giving them that opportunity as well, that success to me that we can have such a great work environment with that flexibility, but also the professionalism that they feel like they're still growing all the time with what they do. And I guess when we get like a beautiful product review or someone sends me an email about something that they've purchased of ours, then I'm like, okay, I'll go to work again tomorrow. That's pretty amazing.
Like, for example, when I sent you an email about the Calm Down bottle, which is actually children, but is such a useful tool for somebody with a very busy brain, it like brings me back. Like that's success, right?
I know. Like, simply put, like a beautiful customer was messaging me on Instagram last night and just saying what had happened when her son had, it was a Calm Down bottle as well, purchased that. And it was so like raw and real how she showed up in those messages. And yeah, I mean, I've got a kid with ADHD, like I've been through that and still am, and I know what it's like. And it was a lot. It was very, very touching. So yeah, that's success in your Insta message right there.
I love that. So you and I like a dance and we like music. So of course I have to ask you, if your pivot had a soundtrack, what song would be playing in the background?
Song. This is such a hard question, Lise, because I feel like I'm one of those people when you say like you need to do a DJ request and you can never think of what you want to actually listen to. But I think, and I'll change my mind, but Tay Tay's Shake It Off comes to mind. I used to get so caught up in like sending the pitch email or making the phone call and like would stew on it. And now, you know, it's still a big deal, but you know, if you don't get a reply, I'm not analyzing it. I just send the email again. So I think the Shake It Off part is just keep going. You don't know what the other person's going through. It might not be the right timing. The opportunity might exist later. Maybe you're not the right fit. Shake that off. You're still great. Keep going.
Yeah, certainly if you don't ask, you don't get. No,
exactly.
The worst that can happen is they say no or nothing at all. So, you know, then you're just still where you are. So you haven't gone backwards.
There's no backwards. Just shake it off and reply. Like, doesn't matter. Maybe they'll be happy to hear from you the 50th time you email. You just don't know. So keep going. Yeah.
So what's something you now allow yourself to do that felt off limits before you were brave and pivoted and, you know, created this new reality for yourself?
I think it would probably come back to just dreaming big. And after dreaming
I'm
big,
not into
dreaming,
that.
No, I know.
I have no idea what you're talking
keep
about.
Keep it small. But, like, just when you go big, add 20% more bigger. Like, just why not? Like, and I think that can then lead to something else. So I think that was the biggest leap for me, just to really reflect and harness what else could be and go from there.
Yeah. It's the pivot and what it delivers, it has no boundaries. Like, when I think about that word, it's just infinite. And the only limits, and this is a cliche, but the only limits are the ones that you place on it.
100%. So, yeah.
Why not?
And if you pivot and then you pivot again and then you pivot again, great. Like, there's nothing wrong with that either. Brilliant. Do that.
It's a bit addictive, really, isn't it? It's like, slow down with the pivots. It's enough pivoting. Okay, so if there is somebody listening and they're standing on the edge of their own pivot, what's one piece of advice you'd give to them?
I would say, what is your next step? And then when you do that, what is your next step after that? For me, whilst I'm talking about dreaming big, that's amazing, but don't let that overwhelm either. It's just, it's slow and it's incremental, and my thoughts would be don't get too caught up in it. Just take that step, take a step, and then take another step.
And if there was a book, I know it's surprising I'd ask this, if there is a book that you recommend to that person, so you need to take the leap, they're about to leap, and they've got a handout and you're putting a book in it, what would that book be that's going to push them to, you know, just effing do it?
Maybe they can take a Mabel's World tote bag and we can just put a few books in it because I have a few suggestions.
I love that.
Big Leap, which the Big Leap seems to fit with Taking the Steps. So by Gay Hendricks and Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic. I feel like those two books I'll pop back to and just read a little bit every now and then and it'll spark something or I'll learn something again or see something I didn't see before. And then I do have a toy brand and I'm in the children's industry. So I think reflecting on the stories I read to my children, I adore The Snail and the Whale by Julia Donaldson. Like just it is all the feels to me. And it's that like it's be brave and what could be out there and go and explore. And, of course, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. So all these, like, we supercharge our kids with, like, you can be anything, you can do anything. And it's always a reminder to me that, you know, like, put like own a little bit of that yourself, Claire. Don't give that all away. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. I adore that you've put some children's books in this. So yeah, with this series, I'm going to create a Spotify soundtrack with all the songs that people say. And I also want to create like a little online Mabel's World library for people on the edge of the pivot. So yeah, it's so good that you're the first person to put some children's books in there. And I think like you, they are so important for us as adults. The messages are so crystallized and we forget them as life layers us with stuff.
Yeah, but it's simple, isn't it? Be brave and try. Yeah.
So I'm asking every guest to give me a question that I can ask the next person. So mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a question that has come from somebody else.
Okay.
And that question is, what does true wellness mean to you? Not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally.
Oh, what a good question. I think true wellness would be making the plan for what I would like to achieve and do through the week and actually sticking to the plan that I set out. So there's so many lovely things that I can do and, you know, I'm not the best student. I don't often get to do all of them because I make other choices. So I think the true wellness would be being firmer and having a harder line and getting to the appointments that I make or, you know, the Pilates class that I bump off the list because I'm okay. But in saying that, I do have like beautiful friends all around me that I catch up with fairly often and definitely feel in my community that very held and supported. So I think that is amazing for mental and emotional health as well. Does that answer that question?
Yes, it does. And also, you know, you are going to come to my farm in the next few weeks with your beautiful children. And I'm yet to find anything more linked to wellness than hanging out with mini goats, ducks, chickens, and sheep. So, you know, you can report back on whether it helped you, but a goat looking into your eyes is like the best.
And I think that's like there's something really beautiful in that lease because it's just marking out like a good chunk of a day. It's packing some great food. It's getting to a friend. It's being in nature and it's like families surrounding us and meeting each other. Like that's it's so nourishing. And yes, getting to my 6 a.m. Pilates class would also be nourishing, but there's something very special about a Saturday with baby goats and you.
Yes, yes, there is. okay, so finally.
Back. Yes.
This is for the next guest. What's one question you wish someone had asked you during your pivot and why?
Well, I feel there has been the theme of dreaming and next steps. So my question would be, what more can you dream?
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Claire. It's always so, so good to spend time with you. And I'm so proud of you and your business. And I think, you know, in terms of a pivot, you are an amazing example of someone who has turned it into something truly phenomenal. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And back at you, gorgeous. I love your podcast and I'm up to date on all the episodes and thoroughly enjoy. So thank you for putting this out into the world.
Thank you. See you soon.
Ciao.
So that's where I'm at this week. And I hope something in this episode gave you the insight, spark, or even a little nudge that you needed to embrace your own pivot. If this episode resonated, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me at Instagram, LisaBurling_entrepreneur, or even leave a quick review below as it helps more people find this podcast. And if you know someone who'd love this episode, please send it their way. That's how we grow this community, by sharing what speaks to us. I'll be back next Friday with another amazing interview where we explore somebody else's pivots and the lessons that they have learned. Until then, stay curious, stay brave, but most of all, stay unscripted.